present The Grumbleweed. Carl, Graham, Morris, and Robin in Double O Wilt.
Is that another spy book you've just finished reading then, Wilfred?
Yes.
How many is that this week then, lad?
12, and in 10 minutes. I'm going down to the library for another dozen. Then it's to the picture detective to see that new film about a robot spying for MI5. Then tonight, I shall be watching that James Bond film on telly.
What are you doing in between times, like?
Writing me novel.
I didn't know you were writing a novel, Wilfred.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called?
The Spy Who Came In From the Pub.
You finally snapped, Grimshaw. You've gone crackers. We've had nothing but spy books, spy television programmes for 3 weeks now. I'm teased.
Uncle Nasty's right, Wilfred. We've even had to buy that new breakfast cereal so you could join the Wheaty Pop Spy Club.
Yeah, I know. I got me badge this morning. I'm 00619,346. Yeah, I am. Me number's on me badge.
Well, why aren't you wearing it?
I can't get through the door with you on.
What's it all about, lad? This spy club, then?
Oh, it's great. You get a book which tells you all the passwords that the world leaders have to use when they're telephoning each other.
But what sort of passwords?
Oh, secret passwords that are only known to the world leaders, MI5, and members of the Wheaty Pop Spy Club.
Garbage.
No, that's not one of them.
So what you're really saying, Wilfred, is that you and all the other members of the Wheaty Pop Spy Club are automatically members of the British Secret Service.
Well, yeah, I suppose we are.
And what are these passwords that all these top leaders say to each other?
When the Prime Minister's private secretary rings up the President of the United States, he says...
Sunday, bung me sink up with tea bags.
What a brilliant password that is. I'd have never thought of that in a million years. Are you a member of the Wheaty Pop Spy Club, Breeder?
What are you on about?
Somebody's bunged up my sink with tea bags. I suppose the President of the United States then says something like, I've left my sink plunger in the Oval Office.
No, no, it doesn't. He doesn't say anything like that at all. He says, my wife has burnt the biscuits.
Well, that makes two of us, because I've just burned the fish cakes as well.
When have you not burned anything?
You've got a short memory, you have, haven't you? What about that Christmas dinner I cooked 3 years ago? I didn't burn that.
Only because we hadn't paid the bill and they came and cut the gas off.
You are forever and incessantly getting at me.
What were we having with the fish cakes, Peter?
Salad. Well, we'll just have to make deal with the salad then.
We can't.
Why?
I've burned that as well. Oh, why don't you have me put away?
Hello, Uncle Nasty. Oh, dear, you look in a bad mood.
I'll separate Grimshaw from his breath when he comes back from that library.
What's he done now?
He's only bugged me bedroom.
He's what?
He's bugged me rotten bedroom.
But there shouldn't be any bugs in your bedroom, Uncle Nasty. We have that man round from the health department the other week.
Oh, you pike, and he's bugged it. You know, like they do in them spy films.
You mean he's put a microphone in and he's been listening to you?
Exactly.
Well, where's Wilfred got a microphone from?
Well, it's not exactly a microphone. It's an empty baked bean tin with a bit of string coming out from the bottom.
Oh, Uncle Nasty, I mean, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. We used to make them when we were kids, you know. They're harmless.
It's the principle of the thing. He's been in my bedroom. He's invaded my privacy.
He's spy mad. It's one of his crazy rat face. He'll grow out of it. He was just the same when he wanted to be Tarzan, wasn't he? I mean, he wandered round the house for weeks wearing nothing but that loincloth he made out of Frida's chamois leather. Oh, hello, where's Ernest and Geoffrey?
Oh, dear. Where's my chair? Over here, Ernest. Take it easy, take it easy.
What's up with him, then?
The poor lad's had a petrifying experience. Oh, I have, yeah. Nobody should have to suffer what Ernest just been through. It was just after I woke up. I was lying there in bed, sucking one of my extra strong mints. Just like I have been every morning for 35 years.
Every morning he sucks an extra strong mint.
When suddenly I felt it.
He felt it.
At first I thought it was a tickle. You know, like when you get a tickle. I mean, everybody gets tickled.
I get them all the time. I do.
But then I knew it wasn't.
He knew.
Instinctively.
Instinctively.
I did. Instinctively.
And how did you know it wasn't a tickle?
It started to move up my leg.
Up his leg, it started to move.
Well, I froze, didn't I? I froze.
He did, he froze.
I froze.
You were frozen, weren't you?
I was froze.
Frozen.
And it went past my knee.
Past his knee.
Past his knee. I thought, hello, I'm not having this. So I leapt out of bed and it fell down the leg of my pyjamas onto the floor.
And what is it?
A spider! What?
Yes.
Somebody had deliberately put a spider in the bed.
Don't be stupid. Old houses are full of spiders.
I called Geoffrey.
He called me.
I did. I called you.
He called me.
First I thought of
me.
Do you know, if it hadn't been for Geoffrey coming in and bringing his smelling salts, I might not have been here to tell the tale.
I have never seen him so upset.
Do you know, I haven't been as upset since they took the wooden tops off the telly.
Well, I think you're making a lot of fuss over now. It's only a spider. Just forget it.
I can't. And I shan't. Do you know, it was just like what happened to James Bond in that film.
What's that you say?
Well, you know, that one on the television the other night. Somebody put a big poisonous spider in his bed, didn't they?
James Bond's bed?
Yes.
That's it.
What's it all like?
Grimshaw strikes again.
Oh, no, Uncle Nasty. I mean, he wouldn't do a thing like that.
He bugged my bedroom, didn't he?
Aye, he's right, old gaffer.
Wait till he comes in, I'll pulverise him.
Do you think that Wilfred put that spider in my bed?
I'm certain he's gone spy mad. All he can think about is James Bond films, spy books, and his stupid, wheaty pot spy club. Well, I'll wheaty pop him when he comes in. He'll wish he'd never heard of wheaty pops.
I'm sorry. Honest, I am really sorry. I didn't mean to upset anybody.
Why did you do it, Wilfred?
I had to. It's the Sweetie Pops Gold Star Challenge. To get your Gold Star, you have to do certain assignments. So I bugged Uncle Nasty's room, and I put a spider in Ernest's bed, like they do to James Bond in that film.
And how many assignments do you have to do to get your Gold Star, lad?
Three.
And you've done two?
Yes.
So there's one more to go?
Yes.
That's it then, Grimshaw. You dare try another one of your stupid pranks on us, and I'll ram your rotten wheaty pop down his stinking throat, box and all.
But I must get me Gold Star.
Why not?
Because then I can join the Wheaty Pops Club Crackers Club.
I'm living in a madhouse.
Look, why do you want to be a card cracker?
Because when you pass your code crackers exam, you become a Wheaty Pop special agent with your own plastic magnifying glass and false mustache.
It's Fred Fibber to see you.
Oh, slow, and that's all we want.
He said he'd just come back from walking across the North Pole in his bare feet.
Send him in, Fraser.
This way.
I can't stick this wally for 2 minutes.
All right, lad.
What do you want that you can't have, Fibber?
Ah, that's nice, isn't it? That's what I call real neighbouring of that is.
You get right up my nose, you do, Fibber, with your stinking rotten lies.
What are you talking about? I've never told a lie in my life, pal. How old are you now, Fred? 107.
You lying wag.
That's right. Our Enid discovered this elixir of life in 1942, and I've been taking it ever since. I don't look bad for 107, do I? It's brilliant, is our Enid's elixir of life. If you think I look good for 107, you want to see me grandma and grandad?
Well, I wouldn't mind some of this elixir, Fred.
Neither would I. How did your Enid come to discover it, like? Hey, when she was working with Alexander Graham Bell discovering penicillin.
Got you this time, Fibber. Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone.
Of course he did. That's why our Enid worked with him. When she'd invented penicillin, she said to him, "Alex, lad, invent telephone, then I can ring up our Fred and tell him I've invented penicillin."
That's brilliant.
Yeah, incredible. So how did she come up with this elixir of life then, Fred?
Well, she was clearing chemicals away after penicillin's job, when she accidentally mixed some syrup of figs with some of her mother's rhubarb wine. Well, she had a sniff of it and thought, "Hey, up, I'm onto some here."
And anybody who believes that needs their heads examined.
I'm telling you, mate, all top world scientists acclaimed her. Then she went to France and got Croix de Guerre from Stalin.
Well, that just shows you how much you know, Fibber. Stalin was Russian.
I'm talking about Francois Stalin. He was a big pal at president. Nice fella. His mother had a pie shop right next to Arc de Triomphe.
It must be marvellous to be as famous as you, Fred. I'd like to be famous.
Well, Fred wants to be a spy, you see, Fred.
You're joking. Well, if he wants to be a spy, he's come to the right man.
I don't believe it.
You haven't been a spy, have you, Fred?
I haven't been a spy. They only based some James Bond films on my exploits, didn't they?
Oh, Fred! This is fantastic news.
It's a lot of Codswallop.
That's what you think, pal. You know that scene in Doctor No where Ursula Undress comes out at Warm Caribbean? She comes out at sea, don't she, wearing that skimpy bikini?
Yeah, don't.
Right, and James Bond's waiting for Rump Beach, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, they got the idea from holiday photographs of me and Aurene at Cleethorpe.
Well, would you believe it?
I think that's fantastic. Can you help me get a job as a spy, Fred?
There's a pal of mine who's a private investigator, right?
Yeah.
Now, last time I saw him, he was looking for a new assistant.
Hey, Fred! That's fantastic!
I've got his phone number at home. I'll tell you what, I'll get it now and I'll ring you back.
Oh, I've got now to thank you. I'm going to be a proper spy. I never thought I'd get further than being a member of the Weighty Pop Spy Club.
The Weighty Pop Spy Club? Hey, are you in that?
Yes! Hey, don't tell me you're a member as well, Fred.
A member? You're joking. I invented it.
Oh!
Calm down, Wilfred, lad.
Yeah, for crying out loud, calm down. You've done nothing but walk up and down and say, "Ooh, I'm excited." Ever since you got that stupid phone call.
What time's this private detective fella coming on, lad?
Any time now. Yeah, I'm excited.
Shut it.
Who is he, Wilfred?
His name's Sixpence. He runs the Sixpence Super Secret Investigating Agency. And he seems to know what he's talking about.
If it's a Sitzkrieg I know, you'll need an umbrella to protect yourself from what he's talking about.
Is it? I am excited.
Try and control yourself, Wilfred.
Aye, you'll not be impressed if you're a jabbering record, lad.
Yes, right.
This two fellas to see you. I can't tell what one of them says, but it's like listening to somebody in a thunderstorm.
Ah, send them in, Freda.
Hey there!
Greetings and salutations. Sid Squeak at your service from the Sid Squeak Secret Investigating Agency, spying and eavesdropping a speciality.
Well, somebody pass me a plastic mask.
And this is my chief assistant, Mr. Stanley Bubble.
How do, you say?
I understand that in our midst is a certain Mr. Grimshaw who wishes to be of a service as my second assistant.
Yes, it's me, Mr. Squeak. I want to be a spy. I'm halfway to get me Wiki Pop Spy Club Ghost there.
To be a Sid Squeak assistant, the Weetie Pop Spy Club Ghost Star is useless. Isn't that right, Stanley?
Quite right, isn't it?
We specialise in advanced cases of espionage among starships. The case of the disappearing sausages.
Disappearing sausages?
The mystery of the Scarlet Suspenders.
Scarlet Suspenders.
And the special assignment on the search for Lady Shufflebottom's lost corset.
Lost corset?
My word, Wilfred, you're dealing with a top man here.
You won't, Mr. Squeakum, but it came, and I'd work very hard.
Yes, he would, Mr. Squeak. He's a good worker, is Wilfred.
Yes.
And he's as honest as the day is long.
And just as boring. At first sight, I'm impressed. He seems to possess qualities I'm interested in. He's reasonably astute and would be a superb asset to my investigation organization.
Does that mean I've got the job?
Certainly.
Oh, Mr. Squeak, I don't know what to say.
What about...
I'm ever so excited.
Good idea. I'm ever so excited.
Stanley, would you please explain our present situation?
Yes, well, you say we shall need your assistance tonight or in the early hours of tomorrow morning, to be exact. We are working on a top-secret case codenamed Operation Hanky Panky.
Your instructions are in this sealed envelope. Get some sleep and meet us at this address in 6 hours.
Yes, right. Fantastic.
So, let us synchronize our watches.
Yeah, well, in about 5 seconds, Mickey's left leg will be at number 5.
Sensational.
Right.
Read the instructions before leaving the house and then swallow them.
Swallow.
Come, Stanley. Time is precious.
Bye-bye, Mr. Squid. I won't let you down. I'll remember all you told me. I'll synchronize the instructions and swallow the rock. No, I mean, I'll read me sleep and get some monkey pankies. No, I mean, I'll get some instructions in me sleep. No, Mr. Sleep, don't worry. Between us, we'll do it. Where is it? This is fantastic. I'm a spy. Get some sleep, he said. I can't. I'm so excited. You think, in 6 hours' time, I shall be involved in Operation Hanky Panky. Oh, dear, I'm ever so excited. I'm a spy. A spy. A spy.
Yes, Miss Money Shilling.
Gabrielle, we are not half as here to see you, sir.
Send him in, Miss Money Shilling. Ah, come in, Grimshaw, lad. Sit down, lad. You look harassed.
Yeah, I am. It was murder driving through London.
Why's that?
I didn't have my car.
Now, this is head of Q Branch 003 and a half. He wants to talk to you about Operation Hanky Panky.
Right, yes. Now, 003 and a half, this is a very dangerous mission, right? You think back. You're going to need the very latest in espionage equipment.
Oh, I've got all that, Q. I've just got me Weekly Pops Spy Club special assignment kit for dangerous missions.
By Jove, hey, I'm impressed with this attache case.
Yes, this is the new Weekly Pops armor-plated multi-purpose 25-year guaranteed self-destroying bulletproof Spy Club members only attache case.
And is it full of gadgets and lethal devices?
Yes, you're joking. Just watch this. By pressing these catches to the left and right, respectively...
It sends out a jet of poisonous gas into enemy space.
No, it opens the lid. Take a look at this apple.
Remarkable. A camouflaged grenade.
No, a Granny Smith. But this is the most intriguing bit of equipment.
I think you're trying to make a fool of us, Double LC and a half. This is a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Now you see, I thought it was a chicken sandwich. You thought it was a chicken sandwich. Everybody thinks it's a chicken sandwich.
Amazing. And what is it?
Boiled ham.
Hey, so it is. Have you seen the special car we're providing for you? It cost us £75,000. It can catapult passengers out of the roof, send out a thick black smoke screen, and spray oil all over the road.
Oh, Uncle Rubbish of the car that does that, they only cost him 25 quid. My first stop was India. I found myself in a dingy backstreet bar in Paris. I always had a rotten sense of direction. Has anybody told you she's got the most beautiful face in the world?
Beautiful? You're joking. I work here 24 hours a day, washing, cooking, scrubbing, cleaning and waiting on. No, I can't call. Any road, do you see that fella over there having a drink?
Which fella?
Him with a sallow complexion, wearing a fez, Tyrolean shorts, German jack boots, and carrying a leopard skin.
Oh, yeah. You think he's a foreigner?
How the hummer did you know that?
Well, it was the bone through his nose.
Well, he's asked me to give you this charm. He says he wants to talk to you. I hope he's coming over.
Oh, right. Bonjour, monsieur. Comment allez-vous, Dunsley, or how are you keeping?
Well, up, Grimshaw. Let me introduce myself. Major Pennington Nasty Smythe, Army Intelligence. I'm your contact over here. By the way, what do you think of my disguise?
Brilliant.
You don't think I've overdone it with the false nose?
No, but I think one would have been enough.
Anyway, let's get down to business. My lads over here have dug up some interesting facts on Anki Panky. Have you ever heard of Elga Heppenstasser?
Oh, yes. Isn't that West Germany's goalkeeper?
Oh, Grimshaw, you're pike, and it's a woman. She can lead you to Anki Panky.
And where do I come in?
You're going to marry her.
I can't marry Elga Heppenstasser. I'm engaged to bloody Iggy Bottom.
She is ravishing, Grimshaw.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that. But her father's got a pub.
I mean, Elga, you duckhead. Tall, slender, blonde, beautiful.
It doesn't matter what you say. I'm not marrying her.
38, 24, 36, with skin like soft satin.
I keep telling you, I'm not leaving my flurry.
Elga's father owns a brewery.
Goodbye, flurry. That night, I was woken from my slumbers. Somebody was coming into my room. It was a woman. She was beautiful, tall, blonde, ravishing. She bent over me, nuzzling her lips against my ears. I was put in her hands. I spoke. Please, Elga, you must stop it. I'm only interested in Anki Panky. What do you want here?
It's time to get up and go meet Sid Squeeze and stop trying to undo me corsets.
I wish Wilford had come home. How long do you think this Anki Panky job will take?
I've no idea, lad.
If he's going to be a spy, he might have to go away for months. And if he gets caught up in international espionage, he might be in a prison somewhere for years.
Oh, no, you don't think Operation Hanky Panky has anything to do with international espionage, do you?
Definitely.
Right.
Even as we speak, Grimshaw is probably in the hands of a foreign government being put through the most horrendous and the most torturous.
Oh, stop it.
He's probably hanging by his ears over a tank of molten custard. Been asked for the secrets of his mission.
Oh, no.
They'll torture him until he gives them Frieda's recipe for Lancashire hot pot.
But what will they want that for?
To poison the whole of the Western civilization.
Oh, Uncle Nasty, we're all doomed.
You might as well get used to the fact that you'll never, ever see him again.
Hello, everybody.
It's a ghost.
It's not, it's Wilfred.
It would be.
Welcome back from your first assignment, Wilfred.
Tell us how you got on.
Well, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, let's have the bad news.
Right, well, the bad news is there's no good news.
Brilliant.
So, do you want the bad news or the even worse news?
Well, let's have the bad news then.
I've been sacked.
Oh, why, lad?
Oh, it was terrible. I went to this hotel room.
This was Operation Hanky Panky?
Yes, and I had to go into a bedroom and fit a two-way mirror between my room and the one next door.
What have I for, Wilfred?
I don't know. It was all to do with Operation Hanky Panky.
Anyway, what happened, lad?
Well, when I fitted the two-way mirror, I had to put my bedroom light out and wait for this couple to come back to their room.
And then what?
I had to watch them and write down what they did.
Well, I can't think why, Wilfred, but if you did that, why have you been sacked?
I put the mirror in the wrong way round and they watched me.
Well, if that's the bad news, what on earth could be the even worse news? Lunch is up and it's Lancashire hot pot.
Double O Wolf was written and produced in Manchester by Double O Mike Craig.
And he gets right up my Double O nose.